To proceed. Those of you that haven't maybe been with us for a couple of weeks, we've been having what I decided to call a pensive summer, P-E-N-N-S-I-V-E, because we're commemorating the 300th anniversary of the death of William Penn. And it struck me a moment ago to realize how striking it is that 300 years after somebody has passed on, we're still finding the words of that person relevant and powerful and timely. And that has certainly been the case for William Penn. I've been drawing one or two of the sayings from his book, Some Fruits of Solitude, that Penn wrote during a three-year period when he was sort of in hiding from the authorities, as so many friends were back in his time. And this morning, as I was preparing my message and thinking about these words from the Gospel of John, it also brought to mind some of my favorite words from William Penn. And I would like to begin by sharing those with you. Penn says, "The humble, meek, merciful, just, pious, and devout, these are everywhere of one faith. When death has taken off the mask," he says, "they will know one another. Though the diverse outward garb of their respective groups makes them strangers here." Now, the challenge before us this morning is to square these words that Penn said with the words from the Gospel of John that we read coming from the mouth of Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Penn sounds so inclusive. People who reflect the character of God, he says, are all of one faith, even if they might belong to a whole variety of religions and faith communities. Jesus sounds so exclusive. "I'm the only one who can lead you to God." How can both of those be so? Well, I believe the answer to this, and there is an answer, and I believe a satisfying answer, gets us right to the core of what it means to be a Quaker Christian. Our way of being Christian, I think, in answering, finding the answer to this question gets us right to the core of how we experience a relationship with God through Christ. So let's begin right where the Gospel of John begins, those first 18 verses called the prologue. And by the way, the Gospel of John is sort of the Quaker Gospel. This is the one that we and our spiritual forebears have focused on so much. In that prologue, it begins with words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In other words, it's referring back to that creation account in Genesis where God spoke everything that is into being. This Word is the creative power of God. And then we read just a few verses down in verse 14, "The Word became a human being and lived among us." And then the one verse, John 1:9, is often called the Quaker verse. Most of us who've been around here know this one very well. "The true light that enlightens every person was coming into the world." Word, light. And then we read the rest of the Gospel of John, remembering that when Jesus speaks in this book, he is speaking as the Word. The Logos, the Greek word says. He's speaking as the light that brings light to every person in the world. Remember, he said, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, Jesus, speaking throughout this gospel, has been introduced as the Word of God that has become a human being. The Word through which God speaks to everybody. The light by which God gives light to the minds of every person is becoming flesh in this one. Now, Elton Trueblood, some of you knew him personally. I had the opportunity to meet him once, and I give credit to Elton Trueblood for helping me decide that I was a Quaker. Sometimes they say that Quakers are, you recognize them more than you make them. You realize that maybe this is what you always were but didn't know it. Well, that's kind of the experience I had with reading Elton Trueblood. And I don't think anybody's going to accuse Elton Trueblood of being some kind of a way out there liberal. He's pretty orthodox, actually. But he said this in his book about Quakerism. He said, the cornerstone of Quaker conviction is that God, as revealed in Christ, can, and indeed does, reach out to communicate with each of the spirits whom he has made, and that he never leaves himself without a witness in every human heart. That's what we friends call the light of Christ within, or oftentimes we speak of that of God in every person. That witness is there. That light, that Word, that inward Christ is there speaking. That's the core of our Quaker way of being Christian. So when Jesus says then, throughout this Gospel of John, there are seven what are called I am statements. This is one of them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It takes us back to the giving of the divine name to Moses in the book of Exodus. Remember, he meets God in this bush that is burning but never consumed. And God calls him to lead the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And so Moses says, if I go to the people and tell them that God has told me to do this, what name am I to give them? Who is this God? And the answer is, tell them that I am is sending you. Or I am who I am. Or I will be whom I will be. So in the Gospel of John then, these seven times that Jesus talks about I am, he's evoking the divine name. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. And I am the resurrection and the life. And then here, so powerfully, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, whoever's seen me has seen the Father. These are all pictures then of the divine character, what God's like. Ways of describing the relationship between God and human beings. Jesus is saying that in him, all of these aspects of God can be found and known and received and followed. Jesus is one who represents God. Whoever has seen me, who's seen the Father. So if this human spirit in our neediness is asking for things like direction and connection in love and spiritual nurture, security, fulfillment, and especially love, then Jesus is saying, I am. It's in me. It's me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I had a friend at one of my previous meetings who gave me a little card that its words sort of stuck with me through the years. At first, I had to really think about it. The longer I've held on to this, the clearer it's become to me. The card said simply, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I since learned that these words are actually from Thomas A. Kempis, who was the writer of The Imitation of Christ. But they sum up what I'm trying to say here. If we're going to find our way to spiritual transformation, if we're going to grow into Christ-like people, there has to be a way for us. There has to be a path for us to follow. If we're going to have experiential knowledge of God on an everyday basis, that divine word must become flesh for us somehow. If we're going to be alive spiritually in this world, then that spirit, that breath must be breathed into us. They're essential. Way, truth, and life. Now, please hear me carefully and don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. What this verse is saying is anyone who comes to God, anyone who comes to God, comes to the God who is revealed in Jesus. Whether they're Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, or even of no particular religion at all. If they come to an authentic experience of God, they are coming to this way, truth, and life that Jesus embodied. Now, it does not assert that people who grow up in other religions then and don't know Jesus by name are eternally doomed. That is a big problem for lots of people who are looking for a faith. This is one of the big reasons that I found satisfying answers in being a Quaker Christian. Because I didn't have to write off all these other people to hell because they grew up in a different place. Or maybe their experience of Jesus was a terrible one because the people who were trying to get them to become Christians abused them. Or they simply misunderstood what Jesus was saying, but still found this way, truth, and life. I learned about a sermon that was preached at Boston University School of Theology way back in the 1950s that really has struck a lot of people. It was a Methodist seminary, and the faculty member who was giving the message was actually a Hindu. The text for the day was this passage from John 14. He read it aloud. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then this Hindu preacher looked at the congregation and said, this verse is absolutely true. Jesus is the only way. And he added, that way is known in every religion in the world. That's revolutionary. It doesn't seem right when you first hear it, does it? It sounds too good to be true. But friends, especially in this time, and in our country that is becoming so very religiously diverse, we, friends, have a very important message that needs to be heard. of how we can be good, solid Christian people without being so exclusive of everybody else. Jesus himself said, those who are not against us are with us. He said, those that are not with us are against us. He's talking as the Logos, as the light, as the Word. Let's go back to Elton Trueblood, something he wrote back in the 1960s that would be perfectly if it were heard today. He said, Christ is indeed the way, but people of different faiths can teach one another what they've learned of the way. And those who know the historic Jesus, Christ, have a special responsibility. The humble yet truly dedicated Christian missionary then goes to other people not just as a teacher but also as a learner. And that is indeed what the early Quakers did. John Woolman, who's regarded as the Quaker saint, whose devotional writing, whose journal is read as a spiritual classic by Christians of all different kinds, he went among the Native Americans and different groups, not just to share what he knew, but also to learn what they knew of the way, the truth, and the life that he knew through Christ. Trueblood says, we are not so rich in spiritual resources that we can afford to neglect any. Let's go back to the beginning of today's reading. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, Jesus says. Believe also in me. And then this, in my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's a picture of family, of whom God is welcoming into the home as God's family. What if Jesus is opening the door, opening the way for all who will enter? Even those who maybe never knew his name. Even those who misunderstood him. Even those who might have responded to the light, the word, the way, the truth, and the life, as it was speaking in their tradition. Is that being too inclusive? Is the God that Jesus makes known to us one who includes? Don't misunderstand me. I love Christ. I have described myself more than once to people as I'm a Jesus guy. That's who I am. I'm as thoroughly Christian as I can be. Jesus is the decisive, the convincing, the fulfilling revelation of God in my life. He's my way, my truth, and my life. What a friend I have in Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Still, these words of Christ in the Gospel of John can be misread, can be misused. They're not designed to beat up non-Christian people in a contest of beliefs. Christopher Stendhal, who was a former dean at Harvard Divinity School, made this point. He said, we can sing our love songs to Jesus with wild abandon without telling dirty stories about other religions. Believe me, if you study the history of religion, there are dirty stories in every one of them, including ours. So this passage in John 14 is always misused if it becomes a way of winning a contest of my God can whoop your God. They're not designed to exclude good and loving people of another religion or none. They're not designed to make us feel arrogant because we, of all the people in the world, how fortunate for us that we have a monopoly on the truth. What if instead they're designed as an invitation from Jesus to trust him even more, to follow him more closely into eternal life, and then hear his invitation to go out and share that with this world that he loves so much. Can anybody else say amen to that? Amen.
Again, please turn into the teal hymnal, number 154, Be Thou Our Vision.